Listen, wife's going out tonight. I'm going to have the guys over. We're going to watch the fish on the big screen. I'm going to grill up some brats. I got a micro brew chilling in my wet bar, and I was going to warm up some ziti. Why don't you come by if you got some triple fried pizza dough or some kind of frozen meatballs or whatever it is. You can warm it up in my microwave, or you can warm it up back at home. Bring it over pipe and hop, and if you want to bring over a vegetable medley, a crudité, figure out how much lunch meat you can spare. Maybe bring over a pound and a half, 2 pounds of Black Forest ham, maybe a Dijon mustard spread. Yeah. Any kind of dessert, maybe a German chocolate cake or something like that. I tell you what would make you a big hit with the dudes is get some key lime pie, a la mode. I'm talking about ice cream on the side.
Right.
And you have got to have a bite of my homemade ziti. I'm just going to warm her up. She's been in the freeze.
Thanks for the invite. But
you know, I love her, those hot mozzarella sticks. Cube them up, put them in some marinara sauce. You have them on standby. Of course, you can't go wrong with some sour cream and onion so long as you bring ridged chips.
Yeah.
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Friday. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Partying. Yeah. Partying. Partying. Yeah. Fun. Fun. Fun.
Stop! Stop telling this! I'm gonna puke.
So look, why don't you download my blog? It's free. Of course we do appreciate donations.
Anybody know what this is? Huh? All of this is the digestive system. And now we're going to have a couple of guys who's going to give us a presentation about what happens when the digestive system isn't working properly.
Just checking Postmates. Oh, my goodness gracious. I think that the coffee is here. I think the coffee might be outside the door of the hotel room here at the Hotel Gray in Chicago, Illinois. By the way, this is a Friday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Carol, hold my calls.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
You're missing your sensitivity meter.
I got to rush through the top of the show here to get my Cobro on so I can run off and check on this this coffee order. So let me just tell you about episode 2658 in the Collector series.
Let the fun begin.
Scientists have finally focused their attention on something moderately important, and that is curing baldness.
You paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
Amazing article in the New Yorker about the search for the holy grail, if you will, the silver bullet of self-esteem problems for a lot of people. Although, by the way, it's not, as they point out in the article, that's probably not the self-esteem problem. It's just the thing that we're focusing on as Americans who have less hair on top of our head than we wish we did. So we'll get into that, tell you the latest on the medical science on painting your bald spot. And also, we will do some emails, V-mails, and music for your weekend on this Friday. First, though, we got to say hi to the longest-running Cobro of the show. He might have a fish sandwich for dinner. He's not quite sure yet. Known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. He's Andrew.
I've got something to say.
Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Take it.
Hey there. I feel like you're really rushing my intro. I don't even know. I take it that you cannot hear me anymore. Have you stepped away from the microphone? Sounds like you have. Hey, everybody. Welcome to TBTL. Coming up later, I have some exciting Olivia Newton-John news for you.
Beauty.
But for now, it sounds like Luke is back.
Yeah, I'm just texting with the guy with the coffee, Andrew. I'm going to tell you why this is all happening right now. I'm in the hotel room. Please stop by. Usually when I send someone a text, it says that it's it's a shady situation, but I'm just trying to get Postmates to bring me some coffee because earlier I went to the Starbucks down on the ground floor of the hotel. I ordered a whole series of things and then realized I was trying to pay with my hotel key card and not my money card because I had been using the gym at the hotel and that was all I had was the key card. So
and they don't accept that?
They would not accept it. They were trying to think of a way that it could work, but the Starbucks there is not part of the hotel. It's a separate entity. I had just came upstairs, but then it was time to do the show. So I hatched a brilliant scheme, Walsh, which was I've never used Postmates before, and I thought, I think they'll bring like anything. So, and this is Chicago. I'm right in downtown Chicago. I'm in the kind of there's just people, and I assume Postmate people everywhere. So I thought I'll just have them bring some coffee up, and I will tip them handsomely, and then we can do this imaginary radio show, and everybody wins. But the guy is currently outside the hotel, like on the street, with the coffee, and I'm trying to nicely nudge him to come upstairs to the hotel room. I didn't get into telling him that I'm doing a podcast. I considered telling the woman at the Starbucks, can I get the coffee now and the cheese sticks, the other high-protein, low-carb items that they sell at Starbucks now, and can I come back after the recording of my podcast and pay you? But I thought that was going to make it sound like more of a scam.
Right, like I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for some cheese sticks and an Americano today. Is that how it goes?
Yes. I'm really the wimpy of the Starbucks on Monroe Avenue here in Chicago. So, wasn't that his name? Wasn't that I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today? That was Wimpy.
I believe so. Yeah. So I'm a little let's see here, a little distracted. So you're texting this guy who's downstairs on the street. Do we just need to pause
Tommy.
For a second? You can get your coffee from Tommy.
No, I mean no. Don't pause. It's definitely not worth me going down to the ground floor of the hotel. I'm just, you know, if anybody knows Tommy, will you guys hit him up? Let him know I'm legit. I need him to come up to the room for completely and total normal reasons. Now, I mean, I would have assumed, again, this is the first time I've ever tried to use a service like this. I would have assumed that the automatic is that the stuff would be brought to the hotel room. Like, I feel like that's probably a thing people do fairly frequently. Like, they order a pizza or something they might need to the hotel room because they don't have it at the hotel. And so I would imagine – that's what I thought the default setting was going to be, but I may have misunderstood how the system works. I may just have to try to do this show sans coffee, Andrew. And more sadly, and I'm saying this like it almost sounds like a joke, but it's certainly not to me, sans Anthony Bourdain.
I know.
Man, that hit me hard this morning. I mean, I was and remain – really, really sad about that. It's, of course, very sad when anyone passes away, and somebody who's well-known when they pass away, depending on what our sort of connection to them is as fans of their work, it kind of hits you differently, depending. But, man, this one really, really, really has me feeling bummed out.
Me too, and surprisingly, it hit me hard this morning. I woke up, and Genevieve told me, did you hear that Anthony Bourdain died? Apparently, he killed himself, and for a guy whose work I would say I'm at best casually familiar with, whose actual work, like I still haven't read his book, and I still intend to. But he's a guy who I just kind of admired from afar. And oddly, this is a very 2018 thing to say, he maybe felt disproportionately large in my life because I follow him on Instagram, which sounds like a weird flip thing to say. But at some point, I decided to randomly follow him on Instagram. And because of that, I feel like I've been kind of following his life. And of course, he's been outspoken about all the Harvey Weinstein stuff and his girlfriend, Asia Argento, and her role in all of that. And he just is a guy. I mean, if I could describe him, he just seemed like a guy who wanted just to like wring every last drop out of life. I admire him because he's like the complete polar opposite of me. It seemed like he couldn't pack enough into his life. And so to hear the news was just shocking on so many levels. And it hit me just weirdly hard, again, for a guy who, you know, I never met. And of course, Luke, I know that you actually have met him.
Yeah, he's been on TBTL before. And then I ended up doing an event with him one time in Seattle. And then over the years, I've talked to him occasionally. Sometimes trying to set stuff up for TBTL or Livewire, or just bumping into him at various things in New York. And I went on Twitter this morning when I saw that he had passed away to say something about him. And I am usually pretty loath to go on and try to like sort of memorialize somebody on Twitter, particularly if they're well known, because mostly I just think like the world doesn't need my opinion on this. And in no universe do I want it to seem like I'm trying to wedge myself into the story of somebody else passing away. But I did this morning go on Twitter because I just felt like I wanted people to understand what a nice guy he was. His sort of exterior, and by the way, I do highly recommend everybody read Kitchen Confidential. It's an amazing book and has totally – it really changed my – or I should say it opened my eyes to the restaurant world and just the hours that people put in and the dedication and also the craziness and – It's a great book. But, you know, he's a guy who I saw some people eulogizing him today, talking about how punk rock he was. And I know he liked punk rock music, and like he was like a cool dude and a chef. But because of his kind of no BS exterior and his way of writing and his plain spokenness, I think some people might not realize that he was an incredibly kind human being. And by the way, just like courteous, he was prompt. If like you were talking to him, he would look you in the eye and he would listen, even if you were me or someone even less relevant to his life than me. He would ask you how you were doing, and he was a really, really nice person. And sort of, if you thought that he was going to be the kind of guy who like rock and rolled his way into the room and was just like, yeah, F everybody here because I'm Bourdain and like I'm taking no prisoners. Now, somebody give me a pig colon to eat. Like, that was not his move. He was just like such a good dude. And so anyway, I was really bummed out. I mean, I cried a little bit today about it, which feels a little silly because, you know, I barely knew the guy, but it just really has me feeling pretty sad today, actually. So that's a strong start to a Friday show. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, so sad. I got to say, if the topic weren't so serious, I would certainly try to get my revenge on you by asking Lin Pham to isolate your imitation of rock and roll Bourdain walking into a room so that I could play that back at you. But, of course, now is not the time for that.
No, you know what? Tony would have appreciated that. You can, Lin, you can do it. It's okay. Because of he and I corresponding, I had his cell phone number in my phone, and you know Anthony is A, and I'm not gonna like pretend like it didn't make me happy if for some reason I was scrolling through my cell phone and people saw Anthony Bourdain's number in my contacts. I mean, I guess now that I think about it, I could have just put a fake number in and called it Anthony Bourdain's number. I mean, I never tested the theory, like I never called him with somebody else in the room, but I have to say, and because it's like one of the first numbers in my phone, every time I would go into my contacts and see it, I would think, I love that guy, you know? It's like you said, you feel like you have sort of like a larger or a stronger connection to him than you even understand why. And for me, I swear part of it is just because I've been looking at his name in my phone for 10 years or something.
Yeah, I'm the same way with AJ Keen, of course, a famous tech writer and somebody I used to have on a talk show 40 years ago.
Yeah.
On an airplane, I pull that out and I just kind of wave it around and be like,
yeah.
Oh, casually. No, I'm not trying to call AJ Keen.
Butt dial again. Oh, man. Rest in peace. You know, I thought about that too. I wrote on my little Twitter note about Anthony Bourdain, I wrote RIP. And then I thought, I don't really believe in the afterlife. I don't know why I put RIP on things. In my worldview, I don't think that really has any big impact on him at this point. But somehow, maybe what I mean is, when I write that, what I mean is thinking about you, man, and hoping everybody's fondly reflecting on you. I don't know why I write RIP. It's not a thing I believe in as a worldview.
You know, it's just also worth saying quickly, and then maybe we should take a break and move on to some happier topics. But, man, what a week, too, you know, with Kate Spade. And you know, Kate Spade I know very little about, and I'm not as much a part of that world. I don't want to give her short shrift as well. But, like, two people apparently this week who were well-known.
I had her on my phone, too.
Who were well-known.
That was just A.J. Keen's number, and I just wrote Kate Spade as the contact.
Yeah, because somebody sees A.J. Keen's number in there, and, you know, they're all over your phone. But anyway, yeah, so I just wanted to kind of mention that as well, too, because I'm sure there are people listening who maybe that news hit some of our listeners harder as well. And it's just such a tough week that two people who just from the outside just seem like in so many ways would seem like they had just had it all and gotten to the top of their field. And in Bourdain's case, almost invented his own field as far as like what he was doing, going out and combining food and culture and bringing it to us in his TV show. But yeah, just really, really tough week. Hope everybody's doing okay.
Yeah, this is the obligatory point where we say, because it's worth saying, that if any of our listeners are struggling with depression or suicidal ideation, or thoughts of suicide, please tell somebody about it, and please, please, please reach out. You could reach out to us. You could reach out to just anybody in your life, because I can't get inside the mind of anybody who has ended their life. But I can tell you that there was a documentary about the Golden Gate Bridge and people who took their lives by jumping off of it. It's a pretty dark documentary. They set up these cameras and they filmed people. And I think they interviewed, it was like two people who miraculously survived, right? And the two people who survived said the exact same thing. As soon as I cleared the edge of that, like, you know, railing, I thought, this is a total mistake.
Oh.
They both said the same thing. And my guess is that everybody who cleared that railing had the same thought. These are just the two people who were able to tell that to us. So I just – and this is – as we used to say this in church a lot about Jesus. He is no respecter of persons, which I think is supposed to mean he has no respect for us. He was the original Rodney Dangerfield.
No. Wait, what would that sound – what would Rodney Dangerfield Jesus sound like coming into a room, Luke?
Man,
never mind.
I'm not going to give you another thing to have Lynn.
I was just asking as a friend
from the show. No, but you know, I think that means that Jesus wasn't hung up on what people's sort of status was, and depression and suicidal thoughts and suicide is not interested in how famous you are or how much money you have. And having fame and having money is obviously no insulation against those feelings. These are something that are biological. These are something that are completely and totally outside of any kind of external circumstances. And I think this week we have seen the evidence of that. I'm such an admirer of Anthony Bourdain's work, and this sounds like a crazy thing to say, but it is. Although you said the other day you're trying to use crazy less, which I think is a good, as we're talking about emotional challenges people face and things like that. But I'm going to try to use that less too.
Can I suggest bananas like or bonkers? Those are two good go-tos.
This sounds like a fairly ridiculous thing to say, but I was watching Bourdain, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, and I honestly made a decision in my mind to quit working for CBS Sunday Morning because I felt like my stories were so shitty compared to what Anthony Bourdain was doing. And like, also, I was pretty drunk. It was late at night. But I was sitting there just watching what he does. And in no universe do I think I'm a Bourdain-esque. But I have had the experience of trying to tell a story on television where you're trying to, like, get the shot and have the right thing happening before the cameras, but then also have it be genuine. And one of the things that he did with his show that was so amazing, I don't know how he had the wherewithal to do this right away, was he just said to the producers, we're not doing stuff over again. I'm not going to like do five pretend meetings and handshakes with this guy who's running this night market in China so you can get it from the right angle. If you guys get me saying hi to him, we have it on tape. If you don't, we'll just figure something out. Now I'm getting into the specifics of television production, but I just want to say he was so amazingly talented at this job that he never set out to have. That it made me – it'd be like hearing a musician and then wanting to quit playing music because you're like, it's not going to be better than that. And that was sort of – that was the amount of respect and reverence I had for the job that he was doing on his various TV shows. Yeah, Anthony Bourdain, man. He was a pretty amazing dude, and I'm sad to hear that he has gone. Let's take a quick break. Like you said, we'll shake up the Etch-A-Sketch. I think my coffee has arrived, so that'll help me. And then we'll do some top stories. We will talk dazzling donors, and we'll do music for your weekend. All coming up in a moment. It's TBTL. Don't go anywhere.
Bless my heart, bless my soul, didn't think I'd make it.
is one of those songs where it's dangerous to play it as our rejoin music, because I'm just like, anything we say, anything we start talking about is less good than the music we were just hearing. I have an instinct to just let the whole record play.
I know. That's usually the case. Any music we're playing is probably, with the exception of Tom Cochran, which, by the way, I think that, just in honor of anybody who might be struggling with anything today, maybe you could just do your part by not playing Tom Cochran on the show today. How would you feel about making that? How would you
maybe
feel about
that's exactly
that?
What somebody needs. Listener Dave, listener Dave of the Stanwood Tens said that they're like eighth grade moving on meeting or whatever they had, you know, for junior hires, I think, that the song for the slideshow was Life is a Highway.
I saw that.
TC.
I know. It's
old TC, Tom Cochran.
Yikes. Little more on that later. I'll talk about during Music for Your Weekend. Never mind. How about that? I was going to say something, but I'm going to say it later. About music and road music.
I'm happy to report that
this song goes out to all the coffee lovers of the world.
The Postmates delivered coffee has arrived. And it's funny. I went through a whole, as we were talking about Bourdain, I was focusing on the important things, which was I going to get my coffee or not? And I went on a whole journey, Andrew, of wanting to get the coffee and trying to like text with the delivery guy on the side and then deciding it doesn't matter. It's just some coffee, and then releasing desire. And then the guy actually showed up with the coffee. And now I'm really happy I got the coffee.
Well, here's one thing. When you were doing that, you're like, well, it doesn't matter if I don't get the coffee, I don't get the coffee. I was thinking more about Tom. Like, where does that leave Tom? Does he get paid either way? Or, like, is he, like,
I believe
just
so.
Standing around? I mean, how long does he stand around on the sidewalk before he gives up the ghost, you know?
Well, that's the thing. And I was, believe you me, Tommy was going to get, and his name was Tommy. I'm not just, like, trying to be overly familiar. Tommy was going to get his money from Postmates either way. I was able to provide him with a little gratuity as well, because he did schlep all the way up to the room. But I certainly wasn't going to like try to – like I was willing to eat it on the $5 for the coffee if that was what was going to happen. But now that it's here, now that the coffee fairy brought me my coffee – by the way, this could be very dangerous for me too. It's good that I live in essentially a backwater of the Bay City – because where they don't have like a lot of these things, they don't have like ride sharing very effectively. They don't have Postmates, stuff like that. Just there's not enough people in Bellingham, Washington. And that's actually probably a positive. If I lived like here in Chicago or in downtown Seattle or anywhere where there's lots of people, I would be having everything delivered. I'd be having them deliver like one disposable razor, which was something I needed last night. I realized minutes before I was supposed to go do wait, don't tell me. I would get addicted to this service because it's an app too, right? So it's just like, and it's like there's a very limited upcharge. I mean, it was $5.10 for them to bring me this coffee, and they brought some half and half, which I requested, in its own little cup and the Splenda. I mean, this is for a person who's inherently lazy like I am, this is a very dangerous thing for me to know about.
I feel like I'm eventually going to crack on that. I've been very curious. I've been Postmates curious for a while now, and I haven't acted on it for a couple of reasons. Number one, like you, I'm worried if I open up this door, I may never close it again, which is silly. Like, that's like in the 80s saying, I don't want to have pizza delivered because next thing you know, I'll be having pizza delivered all the time. See, I grew up in the country, so the idea of having pizza delivered was actually quite novel. We always had to go and pick up our pizzas. I'm way into Grubhub now to get food delivered that way. And Postmates isn't that much different. But I guess I have this weird, and you know what's to blame? Probably all of the, like, I don't know, parodies and sketches, like the comedy sketches that making fun of Postmates as just like a bunch of slack jawed teens who don't really care about your food, like picking their nose and then handing you your banh mi, which I know is, I'm sure, not the case, but maybe like there is something about it that if I'm ordering food from a restaurant and I'm in the restaurant, I know I trust that restaurant or I don't, and I trust the servers or I don't. And by extension, if I'm ordering from a restaurant and they're going to bring it to my door, they're still like kind of accountable. They're still wearing the brand, you know, whether it's Domino's or Pizza Hut or Olympic Pizza down the street. And there's something about introducing a third party kind of ride-sharing app to deliver my food for me. That is, I don't know, it's just a weird mental block I have right now that, again, is probably not fair.
Yeah, if you're already using Grubhub, I mean, you're not, like, it's a small jump to go over to Postmates and have them bring you all manner of things. I will tell you this, it reminds me of, and I think I've brought this up on the show before, something called Cozmo.com, as in K-O-Z-M-O.com. Did you ever, when you were living in a New Hampshire, there's no way they had this in New Hampshire. I was wondering if you'd ever cross paths with this. Cozmo is a venture capital funded online company that promised free 1 hour delivery of videos, games, DVDs, music, magazines, books, food, basics, and more. It was founded in 1998 in New York and then expanded to Seattle, and it was out of business by 2001. What was amazing about Cozmo.com was I used it one time, and it was hilarious. I was living in the Bryant neighborhood of Seattle, which is kind of over, not far from the University of Washington, and I remember, I mean, I didn't even have the internet at my house for a long time, but remember when you got the internet at your house and it was like, holy shit, this is, I can just use this now. Like, that was a big deal.
Yes, I was an adult. It came very late for me.
This must have been like the day after I even had like dial-up internet at my house. And I can't remember what I got. I'm going to guess maybe it was a DVD or, I don't know, a sandwich or something. But the funny part was there were no smartphones. There was like all of this Postmates and Grubhub and, Power Gloves and floppy disk. No, all of this kind of delivery gig economy stuff, it all only works because we have smartphones. It's the and all the mapping technology, and you know what I mean? Like, the technology that is available here on Friday, June 8th, 2018, that was not available on Friday, June 8th of 1998, right? That's the difference. That's why this works now. So imagine a business model where almost nobody has the internet, there is no such thing as a smartphone, and you are going to deliver shit in under an hour to their houses. What happened was a guy rode up on a mountain bike with my thing from Cozmo.com, and it was like $4. There was no minimum order charge, and I gave him the $4, and then he rode off on his mountain bike. And I thought to myself, this cannot be a business model that works.
What were you ordering again?
I forget. I mean, my memory is maybe it was a DVD or something. They delivered, like I said, they basically said, we're going to deliver just about anything that can be like brought on a bicycle or in a car or whatever to your house. So I forget the specific item. I'm going to say it was probably a food item. I don't know what it was, but it was some small thing that a guy could have on a mountain bike. And he rode his mountain bike over to my house in Bryant, got off the mountain bike, gave me the thing. I gave him the money. He got on the bike and rode away. What struck me was it didn't cost like $40. It cost like $4. And I thought, this is not a good system. And sure enough, it was out of business a year later.
Well, it sounds like it might have been ahead of its time. One thing I want to say, only because it sounds like there might – I don't know. I don't know if you are mistaken about this, or maybe some listeners are. The reason I'm saying like I'm okay with Grubhub is like it's not a third-party thing. It's merely an app that kind of just makes it – it's like a menu – where you can look at different restaurants, but it's still the restaurant delivering. I don't know if you know that. It's not.
Are you 100% sure about that?
In my case, I mean, I've been using it a long time, and it's always somebody from the restaurant delivering, and it's just a way of – it's not Grubhub employees or – I mean, and maybe they're now using third-party people, but because I would see the same kind of delivery people depending on which local restaurant I was ordering from, like Pudge Brothers.
Oh, that's interesting. I assumed it was just – a place that basically, because one of the things that's amazing about the day and age we live in now is that every restaurant is now essentially a delivery restaurant, because like we have a thing up in Bellingham called Viking Food, and they'll just go to any restaurant in Bellingham and get your food and bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I assumed Grubhub worked the same way, but you're saying it just in your experience, it's actually just a way to link you to restaurants that already do delivery?
Yes, and it's just easier because you can pay all through the app and Grub. So, like, if you sit down You know, on a Friday night, you're just like, oh, I don't know. What do you want? You start flipping through Grubhub. You pick a place. But you don't have to enter your credit card information all the time because, you know, you're just doing – it's easier because you're doing it all through this app that has all of your information, and they just shoot it out to the restaurants. But – and it might be changing now, but in my experience, you know, especially ordering from, like, local little places, it was still the – it was still the restaurant doing the actual deliveries. They were just managing it. But anyway, that's not super interesting. I just wanted to be kind of clear on that. But you were talking about this. What is it? Zooster? It's not Zooster. What was the early one?
Cosmo.com.
Cosmo. You know, it also was just a little bit ahead of its time. I think of web TV all the time.
Yeah,
TV was just like, it seemed like such a phenomenal failure, but it was just way ahead of its time in trying to force a habit on people before we were there.
Well,
and now, like,
it was ahead of its time, but they had it exactly backward. They said, we are going to turn your TV into a computer. And then 12 years later, we're like, no, we're turning our computers into TVs.
Right.
Sorry, guys.
Yes.
You had it backwards.
Yes. But I mean, they were... the lines are definitely blurry there, and they were very close. And I just think, had it been a different time, who knows? We could all be actually still using our web TV email accounts. Are you still using your web TV email account?
I'm still using my GeoCities email that I got when I set up my my page back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think – I do believe that web TV email accounts still work. Also, I'm surprised Hotmail still works. I know some people – who are still, in fact, some people that I lest people are able to kind of figure out who I'm talking about. There are some people I know very well who are still using Hotmail accounts, and that's surprising to me that Microsoft is still paying whatever they need to pay to have that be a thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's Microsoft. I did forget about that.
I did the craziest gig for Hotmail back in the day where I just spent, like, I don't know, it was maybe 1 or 2 days, a long time in a kitchen in a house in Seattle being filmed making pancakes. Pretend making pancakes, really. And then it was, I don't even remember why or how this was related to Hotmail, but I was playing this character called Pancake Dad. And for a
long
time...
Wait, was it Pancake Daddy? Was it... Do you have anything that says Pancake Daddy or Daddy Loves Pancakes?
I'm sorry, the line's breaking up. I can't hear you. I'm sorry, Andrew. We'll have to just end this here. Great show. Have a great Friday, everybody. No, but it was this thing where they filmed me, like, saying, like, a bunch of, like, the idea was, I think you would go to some website and then you would say, make me a pancake that looks like a dinosaur. And then I would say, oh, you want a dinosaur pancake? Cool. And then it would cut to a shot. I think they had somebody else actually make all the pancakes, somebody who was, like, more artistic. So they filmed that person's hands at some point making a dinosaur-shaped pancake. But then I was pretending like I was making it, and they tried to cover every single possibility that somebody could ask, including me saying, we don't do dirty stuff here or whatever, in case someone wanted me to make, like, a penis-shaped pancake. We had to record, like, everything that a person could think of wanting me to make them a pancake. It was sort of like subservient chicken, but... Do you know about subservient chicken?
That's ringing a weird bell from way back in the day. What is subservient chicken again?
Wasn't that like one of the early streaming things that was like, I can't remember if it was Burger King did it or somebody. But by the way, you can order Burger King on Postmates, which is also, I mean, peace and love. But I just feel like if I wanted room temperature Burger King food, I could go there myself. But then again, I just ordered coffee from the basement of this building. So what am I?
Yeah, no, I'm actually, see that I'm the opposite. Let me just bring a counterpoint to that, because to me, like, there are a million little mom and pop restaurants and takeout places around me, but I have to drive like 15 to 20 minutes in, you know, just normal weekend traffic to get to any kind of fast food place. I went up to Arby's a few weekends ago, possibly while super hungover. You know, the closest Arby's to me is in, like, Edmonds. It's like 20 minutes away. Like, I have to really make an effort to get in front of some fast food here. So Burger King would be the exact type of thing that I would use Postmates for.
By the way, subservient chicken was, in fact, an advertising initiative for Burger King's Tender Crisp Chicken Sandwich. I feel like there was a subservient chicken web page. On the page, a man in a chicken costume performed a wide range of actions based on a user's input, showing pre-recorded footage and appearing like an interactive webcam. So that was it. You could go in and you could tell it, like you could tell the chicken what to do, and this guy in a chicken costume. It's amazing that this wasn't seen as more sexualized than that it was. a guy in a chicken costume would. And again, I think it was. I think that's what kind of what Pancake Dad, aka Pancake Daddy.
Daddy loves pancakes.
Which, you know, was kind of about. It was like a bunch of pre-recorded things, but we tried to cover as many possibilities so that you would feel as the user like, oh my god, I just said make a cow pancake and he just made one. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, that's a story about me making pancakes on behalf of Hotmail.
Oh, Hotmail. That's how we got there. I remember that. I think that might have been right around the time I was getting to know you, actually.
Oh, and by the way, when I say Hotmail, people think I mean the email. I mean Hotmail, the mail hookup site.
Oh, oh yeah. God, is that – I'm going to do it. Say goodbye to my hotmale.com. It's got to be a thing.
I would assume so.
Nothing. You go there. It's a big – blank white page and just a very simple smiley face emoji, but the old school kind. It's just like literally text of a colon and a smiley face.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah,
no, I hear it.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go. Everybody rattle, dazzle.
All right, let's thank a razzling, dazzling donor of the day. And this is a person who donated during the last TBTL-a-thon, that was a dazzling amount of dough, and we want to thank them and honor them today. And we are thanking and honoring Julie Siggins Perez of Lake Forest Park, Washington. Julie says, we donate as a family. That would be me, Julie, and my kids, Brooks and Bellamy. We live in Lake Forest Park, Washington. The kids don't listen as much as they used to. They have school, jobs, friends, and other things that keep them busy. Julie, it's about priorities, okay? You cancel all of those after-school activities. You tell the kids they don't get those back until they're caught up on TBTL, all right?
I support that.
They do love to hear what's going on in the TBTL universe, or at least they pretend to. By the way, that is a sign that she's raising good kids, that they at least pretend that they care.
It's about respect.
That's the bright line. Really, that's the bright line between poorly behaved young person and a nice person, a nice young person. It's not even that they care. It's that they pretend to care.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yep.
Without them, I wouldn't be a listener now because I don't even know how to listen to podcasts until they set me up. I listen while I'm cleaning my house, organizing my garage, crafting, or walking. The show keeps me going when I'm tired but need to keep moving. Makes me laugh when I've had an awful day, and it distracts me, at least temporarily, from the madness and sadness that is Luke's upper torso. I'm sorry, the madness and sadness of the day's news. You two really are my constant companions. Andrew, I loved your recent raves about how today's kids are great. Wow, she's not going to like the beginning of this message. I'll tell you that much. From me.
They don't no respect. Can't get no respect. Why don't they just make the airplane out of airplane food?
Today's kids are great. They really are. I'm going to miss mine when they both move out in the fall. Brooks to finish his college degree in the Bay City. Oh, heading on up to old Western, huh, Brooks? And Bellamy to start her freshman year in film school in L.A.
Wow.
For a special request, I'd like to play an original song from Bellamy's band called New Nostalgia. The band consists of Bellamy's friends Haley and Jillian, with Bellamy on drums. Enjoy and power out. That's the song that we're going to go out with for music for your weekend today. It'll be from listener Julie, and it will be Bellamy and her friend's band, New Nostalgia.
Great.
Or, as I think Sean DeTore once coined on the show, Nostalgia.
Nostalgia, but not talking about Bellamy's band. This would have been before Bellamy's band, right?
I believe Bellamy and her friends were barely a twinkle in their mom's eyes back when Sean said that.
I think I met this crew, I want to say, at the summer picnic, maybe also or instead at the TBTL Mariners game. God, I know this is the wrong time to be asking about new projects for TBTL, as we have a lot of stuff on our plate, but maybe we can set up another TBTL event, maybe late this summer at the old ballpark, get people together.
Yeah, man, I'm getting a lot of requests for that. No joke, between doing Wait Wait and Livewire, I've been chatting with some tens, and the question keeps coming up. Is there going to be a picnic?
Oh, yeah, right.
And also, is there going to be a baseball event? And, I mean, I would be down for both of them. I know that – I know we've got a lot kind of right in our sort of close field of vision because we got the TBTL-a-thon 9. Thumbs up for TBTL, Life is a Highway. That's coming up in like a week from Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm you know, as long as we, and I think we've done this as a show for years, as long as we manage the expectations of the listeners about the picnic, i.e. if we do a picnic that's just like, hey, we're all just going to show up somewhere, we'll have fun, we might do a live show, we might not. Like, as long as we are not responsible to make it a whole thing, I'd be willing to throw a summer picnic out there. Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you're saying, maybe a little bit less produced. Maybe we just have it in somebody's backyard. Here's another thing too. Depending on how our relationship is going, Luke, you know how couples sometimes get to a point where they start vacationing separately. Maybe like on the same day you do, you know, Pancake Daddy does the picnic somewhere. I take the rest of the kids to the ballpark or something like that.
I know that if you keep trying to insert the word daddy into things, it increases the chances that I'll want to start traveling separately from you.
You listen to your Pancake Daddy.
Oh, God have mercy. Like, I will say this, and it's only fair because you saying that to me is like when you hear me talking about like number twos or other things that just give you an instinctively bad feeling. You saying the word daddy does that, but it's only fair because I've tortured you with my various cat roles and other things for years. So, I mean, I understand that it's my time to be on the receiving end of some of that stuff. I'm looking at the clock here, Andrew, and I'm thinking about something, and that something is, I really want to talk you found this story in the New Yorker and sent it to me, but I read it this morning with great interest. It's basically about where the science is on the cure for baldness.
Mm-hmm.
I find it to be a fascinating story, of course, because I'm somebody who's been like really kind of bummed out about my hair falling out, and I've gone to extraordinary, you could only say Trumpian-esque lengths to try to keep as much of my hair on my head as I can. So I find the topic endlessly fascinating. I also don't want to just like give it 5 minutes here. So what's the email v-mail situation looking like? Because what we could always do is we could save baldness talk for Monday. And did you read the article yet?
Yeah. Well, most of it. I got like 3/4 of the way through and then you dialed me up. But I meant to read it last night. I forgot. But that way I can finish it off over the weekend and formulate some thoughts. So that sounds good to me. Here, I got some emails, but I guess we should play the sounder first.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that right now.
Here I go once again with the email every week. I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
All righty.
This
what do you got in there?
Is an email that I copied
Daddy.
From... See, I like that. You know, the mistake you made was... Like showing me that this is a, showing me that I can get a reaction out of you, on this
right.
one, you know, like if
it was
I,
like last, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say last night on guest, not my job guest, was baseball great Keith Hernandez, and I was asking him about when you get hit by a pitch. I was like, doesn't that hurt so bad? Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, but we're taught to never let the pitcher know that they hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why they got to pretend like it doesn't hurt. But I was relieved to find out that it does hurt because otherwise I was like, you guys are not from this planet.
Right.
And that's like, I should have never let you know that was hurting me when you said daddy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And imagine what it's like when I'm going to throw a baseball at you next week or in 2 weeks when we're on the road. Okay, so actually speaking of being on the road.
We should bring some mitts.
We should.
On our road trip.
We need to pack really lightly, though. Well, we'll talk more about that later. I'm concerned about the weight of you know, carrying everything on our backs for a week.
A mitt, a baldness laser helmet. Hey, mentioned... In the New Yorker story,
I know.
By the way.
Yet, what paragraph was it mentioned in? It was mentioned in the paragraph that talks about basically snake oil solutions to baldness throughout the years,
you
ending
know what?
With the laser helmet.
Listen, on Monday we'll parse that because it's in that article or in that section of the article, but it's actually, if you read it carefully, it's not saying that it's snake oil.
It doesn't specifically say that, but I felt like it was heavily implied. But anyway, here's an email from Merrill, speaking of hitting the road next week. Merrill says, I've done a fair bit of hitchhiking, and I'd like to chime in on the non-hysterical side. I think she's referring to some people who are very, very concerned about our safety out there, which I really appreciate. Two big men possibly live streaming are going to be pretty safe. By the way, I don't think we have the ability to live stream this one. I don't think it's going to be like the 24-hour show. We will be recording. On the other hand, getting rides could be a problem. So to maximize your chances, take notes here, Luke. This is fascinating. To maximize your chances of getting a ride, make sure you're in a place where people have ample opportunity to see you. Then think about picking you up and still have time to pull over somewhere where they can get completely off the road. This means you need a wide, straight stretch of road where people are not driving super fast. So that can be somewhat of a challenge. Good luck, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it. But that makes a lot of sense, right? Like, I've never picked up a hitchhiker, but have I ever, like, even given it a second thought? Sure, every now and then. Probably when I was younger. But if I just saw that hitchhiker, I mean, you're going to have to make that decision really, really quick if you're a driver to pick us up. And I do think if we have a sign that very clearly says something about podcasting, I actually think people will think it's like, oh, I like podcasts. Let's get these podcasters in here. Like, I think that that could actually increase our chances of getting a ride and showing that we're kind of harmless and kind of doing a stunt. But we need to somehow, you know, telegraph that to people so that they have at least 5 to 10 seconds to think about it, and then maybe, you know,
right
before they just dismiss us, actually follow up on their second thought to pick us up.
You know those, like, that thing that's really popular now at, like, basketball games and stuff, which is a sort of giant, really clear color kind of photocopy of someone's face, a big head, but it's like flat.
Yeah.
Maybe we get those of our faces and then we hold them up so that if someone's, let's say, they're like half a football field away, or as you would call it, an afternoon of hot dogs away. Mm-hmm. Oh, people don't know about that joke yet because they haven't heard the Salute to the American Hot Dog special. So that when people are far away, they can see our faces and see that we're nice, fun, gentle people. So then they have more time to think about their decision. Because you're right. It's like we need people to have the time to look at us, to assess us, and then to decide they want to pick us up, but then also pull over somewhere safe.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be challenging. Are you going to be disappointed? First of all, I don't think that listeners are going to be able to triangulate enough where we are. And we're going to be in states where we might literally have like 3 listeners spread out across the state. But a lot of people are saying you're not going to get any rides from strangers because it's going to be all listeners picking you up. I don't think that's actually true, but is that something you're trying to avoid? I'm getting emails from people who are saying, this is great, we're all going to pick you up. And then I'm getting emails from people who are like, this is not good, it's just going to be a bunch of people you know picking you up. Is that a concern of yours?
Wouldn't it be hilarious if we got killed by a listener?
It would be probably someone who is sick of hearing that Tom Cochran song.
I have mixed feelings about that. On the one hand, I'm with you. I think our listeners, God bless, I think that they overestimate the number of listeners we have and also the dedication of those listeners. Like, I don't think we're going to have people just driving the highways and byways between Minnesota and Mississippi trying to pick us up. There's like a lot of road. So I don't think people are going to come find us. And also, I think it'll be more fun if we get to kind of like get picked up by some regular people and tell them about the podcast and maybe even record a little conversation or something. But there also might be a day where no one's picking us up. And if some 10 pulled up and was like, I'm here to drive you to your next destination, that might be like exactly what we needed in that moment. So while I think that the narrative of it would be more fun if it's just all strangers, I might be quite relieved to have a 10 or some 10s come give us a lift for at least part of the journey.
I still think that that's just as interesting to me. If we, not setting them up in advance, but to me the story is just as interesting as if we're out there hitchhiking and it's a bunch of people who listen to the show who pick us up. I still think that's a pretty cool, I would read that story in the local Bellingham Times.
I have to say that the dedication and the how do I put it, the tens of listeners never cease to amaze me. You know, 10 plus years into this thing, with their level of like interest in the show and their willingness to like go to great lengths to keep the show going, hence the TBTL-a-thon. If we end up just getting, like, if the tens actually triangulate where we are, literally, like, what parts of rural Tennessee and wherever we, and come get us, and we end up driving, getting rides all the way down that we did not set up in advance, right? I will be friggin' blown away, and that will also be kind of a funny story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to tell people don't do that. I just think it's, the kind of thing that sounds easier to do it before, until you actually sit down and think about what does that mean. Am I going to drive 5 hours to just hope to find Luke and Andrew at a random rest area? Oh, by the way, that could be where we make our play. Rest area.
So you're like thinking like actually approaching people on foot and not necessarily.
No. We just stand there with our sign and possibly with our big heads.
Oh, yeah.
You're dressed like a subservient chicken. I'm making pancakes like a real daddy. Mm-hmm. And,
Daddy loves pancakes.
That's a good way to get us no rides, by the way. No, if we are at a rest stop, like a rest area, and we have our stuff, and we have our little sign that says where we're going that day, and we're not like going up to people, but we're just like people have driven there, so we know they're on the freeway because they've pulled off the freeway to go use the restroom and maybe get some free cookies from like a volunteer from the VFW or something. They see us there. We have a sign. They're out of their car. They can assess it. They could invite us to get in their car and go with them to the where you know on down the road.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that might be a good place for us to be.
I agree. The only thing I'm wondering is if that would break. I don't think you care about this as much as I do. I'm hoping that we don't end up in the back of a cop car. And I think that maybe hitching at a rest area would technically be hitching a ride on the highway, which is illegal.
I don't know, man. I think if we end up in the back of a cop car, I think that really officially makes it an adventure. Don't you think?
Well, it definitely makes it an adventure. It's not an adventure that I would choose purposely.
Well, they're not going to arrest us for hitchhiking. The worst thing they would do is just say, you can't hitchhike here.
Are you sure?
I mean, do you think like they would be like they would cuff us, put us in the back of the car because we had a sign that said, you know, Nashville or burst?
Well, I plan on having a lot of drugs on me, so yeah, I think that's going to come. Actually, I plan on driving a motorcycle and having a baggie of cocaine in the gas tank. Wait, have you seen
that bad for the motorcycle?
Wait, That's the famous 60s movie, Easy Rider. That's the whole thing in Easy Rider. Yeah, they're in
things. Is such a shitty movie.
It's a terrible movie, but let's just say at the end, things do not go well with the police.
That movie confirms everything I hate about that era.
Yeah, it's a bad movie. I wanted to like it because I loved that era, but even I couldn't twist myself.
What is to like about that era? I feel like. I watched that movie one time because I'd heard about it so much, and I like Jack Nicholson. I like that he's wearing a football helmet on the motorcycle or whatever. But like, just to me, that just typifies the utter bullshit of the hippie movement, and it's just like none of it meant anything, but everybody was acting like it meant something. You know, also that's a pretty good description for TBTL.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, so. The only thing I liked about that movie was when they say to Jack Nicholson, "Well, do you have a helmet?" and he says, "Oh, I got a helmet." And then the next thing you know, it cuts to him wearing like a punter's helmet on the back of a motorcycle. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I just said that. He had a football helmet.
I know. I was just fleshing it out a little bit.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's a punter's helmet, though.
Oh, yeah. I just say, it's the line of him saying, "Oh, I got a helmet." It's a good line. I used to put it in mixtapes all the time as a drop.
Oh, no, but I wasn't being sarcastic. Like, I didn't think about the kind of helmet, but that actually makes sense because punters have like, oftentimes they have less. Like, you know, the face mask is lessened because they just figure, like, no one's going to really tackle the punter. So that's actually, like, that's the one to have because you can see better.
It's like, kind of, it's reminiscent of, I think, BD. Is that the Doonesbury character? Who, the one character always wore the helmet. And it was, like, the punter's helmet, the old school kind of with just one single line across the face.
Okay, so we've decided, I'm wearing a punter's helmet. Uh-huh. You're putting cocaine in the gas tank
of somebody else's motorcycle and done. Okay, all let right. me play one more cool. hitchhiking thing, and then we should do music for your weekend. This is from listener, I don't know. She'll probably say her name.
Hey, guys. It's Alicia in Boston with a hitchhiking money-saving tip for you. I have a relative who relied exclusively on hitchhiking for his primary means of transportation for many years, and he devised a system to let family know where he was and that he was safe along the way in a way that would not cost anyone money for phone calls or postage or anything like that. What he would do is, before he set out on his journey, he would take out a map and make a list of all of the locations along his route and assign different made-up names to every location, every city along the way. And then when he got to each spot, he would call his mother, collect. He would give the operator the name that corresponded to the city that he had assigned. His mother would not accept the charges, and then she would hang up the phone and say, oh, Joey's in Baltimore. So we all knew he was safe and where he was without it costing anyone any money. Now, granted, this did rely on the location of payphones, which may have been easier to find in the 70s than it is in 2018. But I know you guys are really committed to saving those nickels and dimes for APM, so I'm sure you will do what you can. So just a little tip, stay safe, best of luck, power out.
I don't know that that necessarily applies to us. I'm hoping that we'll have self-coverage.
You know that I used to do a version of that as a kid. I've told that story before.
It rings a bell.
I would occasionally, calling collect was a total thing because you'd be a kid. You wouldn't have any money. It'd be like you'd be at the baseball field, like your practice was over and you're trying to call your parents for a ride. And so lots of kids would call their parents collect. I'm sure it was like 25 cents or something, but that was not okay in the Burbank household. But there was a real live operator that would, so you'd call and the real, did you ever call collect when you were a kid?
Yeah.
From a payphone?
Yeah.
So did you guys have, like in Ohio, did you have a live operator too?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a thrilling, thrilling thing for a kid.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the lady would go, can I place a collect call? Okay. What's the number? And then, okay, what's your name? And then there would be a brief moment where they'd be asking, like my mom, will you accept a collect call from Luke? But also I was audible on the line. And so while they were saying, will you accept a collect call from Luke? I would say, I'm at Evans Pool. Pick me up. And then I would hang up.
Wow. What a grift.
Hey, listen, you're going to need those street smarts from me when we're...
Oh, that wasn't... I wasn't judging. No.
When we're waylaid somewhere in... I don't even know what states we go through. I haven't even looked at the map. I know it's like 1,000 miles or something, but I don't even actually know what states we go through. I know that's like Minnesota, and then Nevada... California.
Yeah, I think we just go through Southern California. Yeah, we do go down the peninsula, I think, and then we cut over for Houston. I don't know. I have it all written down somewhere.
I can't believe I don't actually know what states we go through. Hey, everybody, if we do end up not surviving this trip, will you please, everybody, donate to the TBTL-a-thon, because that's the reason we're doing this. Please don't make our passing for nothing.
But then where does that money go?
I assume it goes to In the Dark. And let's be honest, they're going to use the money for better things anyway.
So we're going to go through Iowa?
No, it should go to Terrible Thanks for Asking.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's going to. If anything happens to us, it's like half Nora's fault anyway, though, for driving us.
Yeah, she's going to be. She and the Stewbot are going to be driving us on the first leg of the journey.
I mean, if she loved us, I feel like she would drive us the whole way, but... Clearly, we don't have that kind of relationship.
I told you this. I don't have any sense of off-air and on-air propriety. So we were trying to decide, we're going to get a ride from the mothership in St. Paul down to like our first jump off. And we were trying to decide if we should ride in Stu's car or Nora's car. And Nora said, which one of us has a Honda Odyssey? Case closed. So I guess we'll be in Nora's Honda Odyssey.
All right. That's perfect as we start off on our own Odyssey.
Yeah.
By the way, if we went straight down and then hooked over, it would be you know, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, and then Arkansas butts up against Mississippi. But we could kind of take a route that cuts it. That if we cut across some corners, we may end up hitting a little bit of Illinois and maybe Tennessee. As a matter of fact, we
Arkansas. Are we going anywhere near Bentonville, Arkansas? That's where I went to a squirrel cook-off. And that Bentonville, Arkansas is a really interesting town. It's where Walmart started. And it is like... they have this, one of the coolest hotels I've ever been to in my life is in Bentonville, Arkansas.
We will only go to Bentonville if things go real sideways for us. It's on the wrong side of the state.
Man.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right, let's do some music for your weekend, and then I'm going to hit the road. I will be in Portland tomorrow. Maybe I'll see some of you at Livewire at the Alberta Street Pub. That'll be fun. Mike Pesca is going to be there. And Prom Queen, our friend Leanie, will be playing music, and it's just going to be an awesome time. What do you have planned for this weekend, Walsh?
What do I have planned? It's a day game tomorrow for the Mariners at 1 p.m. they're playing, so I'm going to hole up with our buddy Hannah Brooks Olson and watch that day game. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, usually I wouldn't, you know, dare to have beers during the day, but I mean, I think I have to because it's a day game. So I'll probably be going to bed early on Saturday. And I don't know. Nothing interesting. I got a little plans here and there, but nothing I need to bore you with. Nothing as exciting as a Pesca and a Leanie.
And then my mom and dad are having their 40th wedding anniversary party on Sunday. It's a big blowout. But here's the messed up thing, Andrew. I'm 42. How does that work?
Oh, my God. I think that you should maybe raise that. I think you should stand up to give a toast, but then kind of get into the math there and put everybody on their heels.
There's nothing better than a drop played at 1/15th of the audio level that it should be. That's a pretty good spoof right there.
All right. Well, do you mind if I kick off music for your weekend? Because it's kind of related to what we were just talking about. And I mentioned earlier that I had some kind of newsletter / music related things to say. Luke, because of your Cochranization of the TBTL-a-thon 9, a lot of people have been sending us alternative songs we could be using for our official music for the road trip. I've done is I've compiled them all into a playlist on Spotify that I'm sending out in the newsletter, which should be going out here any moment now. And I've linked to all the songs that people have been sending us. And it's a pretty good haul, actually. Great road music, great hitchhiking songs. And one of them came from somebody named Steven, who suggests the song Me and You and a Dog Named Boo by somebody named Lobo. And I think he said something like, it's not specifically a hitchhiking song, but it's a good get moving song. Are you familiar with Lobo?
I am not.
Neither was I, but as you will hear, this is right up my alley.
I remember to this day the bright red Georgia plain. How it stuck to the tires after the summer rain. Willpower made that old car go. A woman's mind told me that so. Oh, how I wish we were back on the road again.
Watch out, jukeboxes of the greater Seattle area, because this song is coming to you soon. I love this so much.
Yeah, it's got a very... It's funny, yesterday we were talking about that Nilsson song, Everybody's Talking.
Oh, yeah.
And it has doesn't it have a bit of an element of that kind of era?
That kind of era and vibe and feel. Yeah, it definitely... And it is very specifically about, you know, hitting the open road and having that feeling of freedom and just... The only thing that I think we should do now is get a dog named Boo. Luke, me and you and a dog named Boo.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, would a dog, if we brought a dog with us, what if we brought Rudy? A dog named Roo?
Me and you and a dog named Roo?
My name's Roo. How do you do? it was a little loud for the Hotel Gray. They're going to probably come tell me to leave now. I wonder if bringing a dog on the trip would make us more appealing, but then also some people might have allergies.
Yeah.
So then maybe they wouldn't want to get it, like, let us get in the car.
I think that really limits the...
Plus, we'd be sneaking her in. If we brought Rudy, we'd be sneaking her in and out of motels. Mm-hmm. We'd have to get a trench coat, and then one day somebody would open the trench coat, and it'd be like you and me and then Rudy on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Did they,
and they'd be like, this isn't a person. This is two large adult males and a yellow lab.
This isn't a 16-foot person with a dog head.
Can that be the show title, 16-foot person with a dog head?
I think it's going to be me and you and a dog named Roo. That delights
me. All right, cool. You know me. I'm always down for worming Rudy into the proceedings here.
Yeah.
All right. My song is one that our friend Camaro Kev played for me the other day when we were driving up to see you and Katie at the Eagles, and that was by a DJ Cassidy, who I couldn't tell you much about his music, but this song heavily leans on the work of the band Chromeo, which I do like a lot, and then Wale, who's a rapper that I also like a lot. It's called The Future Is Mine. Would you be able to play this from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington? DJ Cassidy.
Let me find it.
Future Is Mine.
Doesn't seem to be on Spotify. Okay, I think I got it here.
All right. It just sounds like a Chromeo song, honestly. And I like Chromeo. Just listen to this. It'll get you kind of pumped up for the weekend.
I saw you looking like a diamond in the rough. I told myself that one night ain't enough. Then we started talking. I mean stalking. Lips are locking. Remove your stockings. For me and your girl, one life ain't enough. But time is our best friend. You blow my mind. From the beginning to the end, our stars align. And now your future is mine, girl. Your future is mine, girl. Your future is mine. Wait a minute, when the sun comes up, our future's what I'm seeing. When the sun goes down, that's when you start believing that your whole world, it could be mine. When the sun comes up, that's when I get the feeling. Girl, your future is mine. Basic girls I've seen 2001, still wearing the same things from 2001. But you seem different. How you live and handle.
I guess all the session musicians on this song were like all people that used to play with Michael Jackson a lot.
Oh.
And like it's got, and you know, Camaro Kev, like, is he's deeply entrenched in the world of kind of like funk music, and you know, he knows everything about Zapp and Roger and Rick James and like the guy who played bass on like Baby Be Mine by Michael Jackson or whatever. So I know that he was pretty jazzed on like the fact that all the people playing all the instrumentation on the song are like old school cool session musician guys. So
I'll tell you what, the video is naughty. Have you seen it?
I have seen the video. I wouldn't call it super progressive.
No.
Let's put it that way.
Wow.
Yeah, it's I was hoping you'd find it on Spotify because I didn't want you to see the video because I didn't want you to get offended. Let's just say it's a video that looks like it should have been made in the 80s. It's, if you've seen the Van Halen video for California Girls, it's about that level of progressiveness.
It's very underwear based. I would say it's a very underwear based music video. Okay.
So there's that. All right. On that note, let's talk about listener Julie's kid. our music for your weekend is by way of dazzling donor Julie, and it is, of course, her daughter Bellamy's band. It's called City Lights. Excuse me. It's the song is City Lights. The band is New Nostalgia. And this will be the end of our broadcast week. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you for being part of TBTL. Thanks for helping make this whole thing possible. We will be right back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, have a great weekend. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
Good luck to all. Does anybody want a pancake? Daddy?
Waiting for the moment that I could see you again. I was standing there with the crowd all around me. I was standing there with you on my mind. I was waiting there in the dark of the night. The memories are slowly slipping away. I was waiting there with only empty space around me. I was waiting there with you on my mind.
Power out.